الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. وبعد I first of all like apologize for this morning not being able to attend. I hope you didn't give the substitute teacher too much of a hard time. As you know, when we were in our course, just to sort of put everything in perspective, we started off with an introduction, but then we discussed the lawgiver, Sharia law. We finished yesterday the sources of Sharia law. And now what we'll be discussing is commands and prohibitions. Commands and prohibitions. And that is because the text of the Quran and Sunnah constitute either commands to do something or prohibitions to leave something. So what is the value of these commands and prohibitions? That will be the topic of our discussion. First of all, what is a command? Well, a command is defined as a statement to perform an action given by someone who occupies a position of higher authority. Okay, the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh define a command as a statement to perform an action when given by someone who occupies a position of higher authority. That would mean that it has to be done as a statement. That's the first essential ingredient of this definition. So if I told you like this, would that be a command? Would that be a command according to Usul al-Fiqh? Why? Not a statement. If I wrote something on the board, get up or get out, would that be a command according to Usul al-Fiqh? Yes? No, it is not a statement. Remember, it's a statement. Unless it's spoken, the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh do not consider that to be a command. The second matter is that it has to be to perform an action. In other words, a command is what requires of you to do something. If I tell you, if I speak out, I say, do not touch that book. Is that a command? No. I'm asking you not to touch something. I'm not asking you to perform an action, but rather I'm telling you to leave something alone, okay? That would not be a prohibition. That would not be a command, it would be a prohibition. Third aspect of a command according to Sharia, according to the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, that it must be given by someone who occupies a position of higher authority. In other words, if a young boy comes in and tells you to do something, a statement to perform an action, that would not be a command. Or if your peer tells you to do something, one who's of equal standing with you, that would not be considered a command according to Usul al-Fiqh. It has to be from somebody above to somebody below. Now, are there any questions regarding the definition of command? Well, it depends on whatever, I mean, whatever your relative position to him. I mean, you know, age and so forth doesn't, you know, it's not necessarily an issue. All right, now, the next question is, which is given, is how do we know something is a command or not? I mean, in other words, we come across a text in the Quran or the Sunnah how can we recognize it to be a command? And basically, this requires a knowledge of the Arabic language. So I'm going to list it. Those brothers who know Arabic, they'll benefit from it. Those who do not know Arabic, well, you know, I don't know what much to do to in lieu of that, okay? So a command. Takes a form. Of would be فعل الأمر. فعل الأمر is the you know, the verbs are divided into past tense, you know, present, right, and also the imperative, I guess. Sure, okay, I'll go to the فعل الأمر. I mean, you know, like in the English language, when I said he went, he is going, and go. Go is a فعل الأمر, right? The Arabic equivalent of that. Okay. This is, I have no idea how to translate this thing, but yeah. It's a فعل الأمر. Ism fi'l al-amr is a noun that occupies a position in the sentence which is equivalent to a verb that you, one of these verbs that tells you to do something. Huh? Verbal noun. Okay, I don't know if that's what it is, but if that's what it is, it's fine. No, it's not the fi'l al-amr, but it's a noun like hayya. When you say Hayya ala salah, hayya is a noun. It's not a verb, but it occupies the position of go to salah, fa'il al-amr. So it's just something for the Arabic language. Let's just take it. Okay. The next one is al-masdar al-na'ib al-fa'il al-amr. Oh, wow. Okay. Al-masdar al-na'ib. عن فعل الأمر Let's put an example here for your notes. Example, Hayya ala salah. The first one is the imperative. The second one is a noun which acts as an imperative. Because Hayya is a noun, it's an ism. It's in me because the Arabic, okay, I can do this much at least. The Arabic has three constituent parts. It's either an ism, okay, or a fi'l, or a harf. It's either what we call a noun, or a verb, or a an object, a particle. Like in and above and so forth, okay? So, huh? No, but it's more than prepositional, it's just particle. So, the verbs, right, are three types, past, and I guess what they call the imperative, and then also the mudara, which is the perfect, the imperfect, and the imperative. So, you know, so the verb and the command, when it's a command, like aqim as-salah, okay, is an example. أقيم الصلاة أقيم الصلاة a verse in the Quran which we say this verb أقيم right is the plural for the verb you know establish the imperative verb establish now sometimes you'll have a noun okay, which will do the same thing as that verb. So that's ism fi'l al-amr, hayya ala salah, hayya in this case. The next example is al-masdar al-naib an fi'l al-amr. Here it's a masdar. A masdar is the verbal noun, which is replacing or is standing in for the imperative verb. And I'll give you an example. If you look at Surah Muhammad, Surah Muhammad is what? Surah number 47, verse number 4. Allah says, فَالْدَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ word. This word, darb, okay, is not a verb, okay, but it means hitting, okay. It's a masdar, but here it is as if Allah is saying, then hit the necks of the unbelievers. So even though it's not a verb, okay, it occupies the position of a commanding verb. فَضَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ is as if Allah says, فَضْرِبُ الرِّقَابِ, strike their necks. Okay. Four. الْمُضَارِعُ المقرون بلام الأمر. Okay, the fourth example is, right, the transliteration, المضارع المقرون بلام الأمر. What does that mean? Al-mudara' al-maqroon bilam al-amr. Well, this is a verb which is in the present tense. Okay? Al-mudara' means the present tense, the verb which is like in the present tense. But it has been linked with the lam, the letter lam, which is indicative in this case of a command. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Nur, Surah 24, verse 63, لِيُنْفِقْ لِيُنْفِقْ. Okay? This part of the verb, يُنْفِقْ, is a present tense. The command would be إِنْفِقْ. Okay, but it's come in the present tense, in the mubarak sense. But since it has this lam next to it, okay, this lam is like called lam al-amr, the lam of command. So it converts this present tense verb to the imperative. Okay. Remember we said that usul al-fiqh, the second basis of it is what? Arabic language, so there's no way of getting around this. Yeah. As terms of the relative strengths and like that, you know, I'm not that strong in Arabic grammar, so should ask somebody. Okay, but now let's come to something which is what does, y'all get this now? Okay, we're coming around, we're reading our Quran, we're reading Hadith, and we find one of these four forms which indicate a command. What does a command mean? What is the value of a command? All right. Does it indicate that it's obligatory? Wajib? Or does it indicate that it is recommended? Mandu. That is a question. So we come across one of these four forms of a command, right? What does it indicate? What does it show us? Abu Musa. Al-amr yufid mada? Yufid al-wujub in English. What is wujub? What is wujub of these two words? Obligation. Good. So, the command, right, is indicative of obligation. Whenever you come across a command, and remember we said the command can take one of these four forms, right? It means that this is an obligation for you to fulfill this divine command. Or if it comes by the sunnah, the prophetic command. Which means if you do not fulfill the command, then what? Under the threat of punishment. You have sinned and you're under the threat of punishment. Very good. Alright, now. Sometimes a command can be reduced to imply that it's either recommended or permissible. Mubah. If there is some sort of evidence to show that the aim behind the command is that it's only to show it's recommended or permissible. Okay. So if there is some sort of evidence, it could be external to the verse, it could be another verse, it could be a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But the point is that there's some sort of verse or some sort of hadith or some sort of evidence which when we link it with that command, right, it shows us that the intent behind the command was that it was recommended or that the intent behind the command was to show us that it is permissible. Yes? So... Okay, I don't know if you remember when we discussed the declaratory law. We said that there is something called a shart or a sebab, right? So if there's a sebab, a cause, linked with that command, then when the sebab is not there, then what happens? Somebody? The command is not there. Or if there's a shart for that command, and those shurut are not fulfilled, then the command doesn't take root force. And likewise, if there's any impediment, any manner, then it's not going to come through. Yes? I'll give you something as from Usul al-Tafsir. Not really dealing with our topic, but it'll help you. They say that the illah, right, or the ibrah, the consideration, the consideration. The Ibrah lies with the generality. Of the ruling, not the specific cause of the revelation. Okay? So, consideration, the Evra lies with the generality of the ruling, not the specific cause for revelation. If it is revealed in a certain context, right, the consideration lies with the generality of the ruling, not the context in which it was revealed. Unless the context shows that there's a sabab, or a shart, or a manner, and then we have to take those things into consideration. Okay, coming back over here. An obligatory then therefore is indicative of what? That's the other thing, sorry. Command is indicative of wajib, unless there's an evidence which shows that it's recommended or permissible. Good. Now, does a command indicate that it must be repeated? Does a command indicate that something must be repeated? In other words, Allah gives a command to do something. Does that command indicate for us that we must do it once? Once we do it, that's it? Or does it mean that we have to constantly do it? Okay, the command does not indicate that what is ordered must be repeated unless it's linked to some sort of cause. Whenever the cause appears, then the command, right, is enforced. Or when, Okay, a command does not indicate that what is ordered must be repeated unless when linked to a cause, and then whenever the cause comes, then that command results. Like the command to pray Salatul Dhuhr. In its essence, the command is only to pray one Dhuhr. But since it's been linked to a cause, which is the declination of the sun, whenever the sun declines, the command comes back into effect. Right? Okay. Next. Yes. وَلْيَشْهَدْ, which of these four forms is it? Four. It's a فِعْلْ مُضَارَى, right? الْمَقْرُونَ بِلَامَ الْأَمَرُ. So, now, what does a command, so it's a command, okay? It's a command. What does a command indicate? What is it you feed? Does a command tell us that it's wajib? Tell us that it's mandub? Tell us that it's mubah? No. A command tells us that it's wajib unless there's some sort of evidence, right, which shows us that it becomes recommended or mubah. Okay, so here, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them bear witness to their punishment, a group of the believers, a ta'ifa, shows that it's the type of wajib. Out of kifaya, it's out of kifaya. So, it is fardun out of kifaya. Very good. Okay, next question.
Let me see something over here.
All right. Does a command, this is the third question. We said that a command does not indicate that it must be repeated, right? Does a command necessitate immediate compliance? Scholars of Usul al-Fiqh have differed regarding whether a command necessitates immediate compliance. And so therefore, because of that, they differ sometimes regarding rulings. Like Hajj, if you got the money and the means to make Hajj, are you required immediately to perform Hajj? Or can you say, well, I'm going to perform Hajj later on in my life? Because of the difference regarding this issue, does a command necessitate immediate compliance, right? They've differed regarding that, and as a result, they differ in certain judgments and rulings. But perhaps the strongest opinion is that it does necessitate immediate compliance unless there's an indication otherwise. Yes? A command? They might. I mean, you know, as I said when we were doing this course, the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh have many varying opinions, and what I'm trying to do is just take a cross-section to those opinions which are representative of the majority of them, without looking at who specifically is. And I wasn't trained with the Hanafi school, so I'm not really familiar with many of their opinions. Okay, now that we've done this, there's one last issue concerning the commands, and that is, we discussed this when we discussed wajib, and that is that a command to perform something necessitates performing everything that is necessary to fulfill that command. For example, the command to pray necessitates that you have tahara, not purification. Because the command to perform something necessitates performing everything that is necessary to fulfill that command. Okay, the command to jihad necessitates preparation for jihad. Makes preparation also a command, because the command to perform something necessitates performing everything that is necessary to fulfill that command. So everything which is necessary in order for you to do that command itself is commanded, even though there might not be an explicit text. All right? You all clear of that? Okay, the final thing regarding, we discussed the wajib, right? The final thing regarding commands is that a command to do something is a prohibition of its opposite. A command to do something is a prohibition of its opposite. A command to worship Allah alone is a prohibition of what?
Shirk.
So a command to do something is a prohibition of its opposite. A command to be clean is a prohibition of what? Not to be unclean. Okay, very good. So let's see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah and His angels perform salah upon the Prophet. O you who believe, perform salah upon the Prophet and greet him. سَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Greet him with a greeting. So, this command, okay, to perform salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. How do we understand that? What does, tell me now, that's a command now. What do we learn from it? Ahmed, you raise your hand? Okay, it's obligatory, that's the first thing. So then therefore, to do salah upon the Prophet is obligatory. Okay, what's the next thing you learn from it? Huh? Okay, that if there's anything that we have to do to fulfill this obligation, it becomes obligatory. But in the case of making salah upon the Prophet, I can't think of anything that you need to do in order to fulfill that. So there might not exist one. Okay, but what else does it do? Does it indicate that it should be repeated? Does the command itself indicate for it to repeat it? No. Huh? What? Okay, so therefore, if it's not linked to a cause, right? And therefore, it would mean that we should only once in our lifetime say salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as long as we did it once in our lifetime, we would have fulfilled Allah's command. So being repeated is not a thing. But we know from other evidences, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that whenever we hear his name being mentioned, we have to make salah upon him. And so therefore, the other evidences show us that this should be repeated for a cause. But the Quranic command in and of itself, if we're just to look at that Quranic command in and of itself, it would show us that as long as we did it once in our lifetime, we would have fulfilled the divine command. Yes? Okay, what happens when you do not do something which is obligatory? You're under the punishment. Does that mean you've sinned? Yes, okay. Now, let's take the third matter. What other matter did we mention? Did you guys jump to repeat it or something between the two we talked about? Yes, it means so. We come this command, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi. Do we have to do it now? Or can I do it like 10 years from now? Different opinion concerning it. The strongest is that no. Okay, good. And it's also, the command is indicative that that for the prohibition of its opposite, okay? I don't know in this case there is one, but yes. Not mentioning him, you know. Yeah. It depends on how you look at all those evidences. I mean, you'd have to put the sum of the evidences together and see. But what we want to do is we just want to understand the principles as is. Because if you understand the principles, and later on when you see the scholars, how they argue, you'll be able to recognize the principle, you know, and so forth. All right, let's now do the prohibition. To the prohibitions. A prohibition is defined as a statement that includes a demand to leave something when given by someone of higher authority. Okay, now I tell you to leave that alone. Is that a command or a prohibition? Prohibition. I tell you, sit down. Is that a prohibition or a command? Command. Sit down. Look, that is a demand to leave something, right? Not to do something. The difference between a prohibition and a command is that a prohibition requires of us not to do an action, while a command requires of us to initiate an action. Now you have to be able to distinguish between, there's some, like sitting down, you're standing up, and I tell you sit down, if not a prohibition, and it's a command. You're asking you to do an action. It implies. It implies. But it's gonna come into an issue when we come and dealing with what does a prohibition indicate and so forth. Alright, we gotta be very quick because we've got to get ready for so long. So a statement that includes a demand to leave something when given by someone of a higher authority. So if I write something, right, on the board, right, or I make some sort of hand gesture, it's not a prohibition. If I ask you to do something, initiate an action, it's a command, right? And if I ask, if it's given by someone of higher authority, then it is, or somebody of lower authority or equal authority, it's not considered a prohibition. What does a prohibition necessitate? A prohibition necessitates that it is forbidden, and wajib, to leave something. Remember when we divided the demand as two parts, commission and omission, and we said that it is either absolute or recommended, and the absolute was wajib, and the absolute omission was haram, from way back then, but we're talking about this now. So the prohibition is indicative that it is forbidden, unless there is an indication that shows it is, that it is makruh, right? Okay. Moreover, or sometimes, it might be so. It might so forbidden. Sometimes for it that it's makruh. So it shows it's haram, and sometimes it's makruh, or sometimes. It is showing to that it's non-mubah, but preferable. I tell you, do not forget to say after each prayer such and such. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah. Do not forget to say. It shows that it's preferable for you to say it, right? Manjubia. Alright, now the forms that this may come in is only really one. And that is al-fi'l al-mudari' al-maqrun. Excuse me? No, the provision. الفعل المضارع المقرون بلا النهي okay, you have, you know, this verb, which is known as the, I think it's called the perfect, right? To, he is going, right? So you stick the la in front of it, and it becomes a prohibition in the Arabic language. The prohibition means it's haram, unless there's an indication that shows it's makruh, or it shows that it's preferable. Now, the other things about the prohibition. Excuse me? Preferable to do. Preferable to do. Al-fi'l al-mudari', okay. I'll give you an example. Let's see what we have here in the textbook. All right. La. يمسن أحدكم ذكره بيمينه وهو يبول حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم reported in Bukhari and Muslim. La, okay, is la nahi. This la shows that it's forbidden for you to do it. There's a prohibition. Yamasanna, this is the fi'l mudara, to touch, okay, in the mudara form. Ahadukum, any of you, dakarahu, his penis, by his right hand while he is urinating. So here, part of it. لا يمسن is الفعل المضارع المقرون بلا النهي. The verb, which is in the مضارع form, when linked with the لا of, which is indicative of النهي, or prohibition, the لا of prohibition. Anyway, I mean, you know what we said, أصول الفقه requires knowledge of the Arabic, right? So, other issues regarding a prohibition, like does a prohibition must be immediately done? Does a prohibition must be repeated? That the opposite of a prohibition is a command, right? The prohibition indicates the command of its opposite. It's just like the command. And the other issues we did concerning the prohibition is just like the command. Who has the textbook we passed out? I didn't bring mine. A copy of the textbook that I will agree with it. Will agree with it. Yep. Okay, if you look on pages... then I'll let you go right now and we'll show you the page number. If you look on page 31, chapter 10, page 31, Divine Commands and Prohibitions. A command to do something entails a prohibition of its opposite. You understand that? And likewise, a prohibition of something entails a command to do its opposite. A prohibition necessitates an ad matter to be null and void unless there is an evidence indicative of its continuing validity. Remember when we discussed haram? And we said if it's something been prohibited because it's inside it or due to a quality outside of it and so forth, that's all about that paragraph. And then finally, a command following the prohibition returns that matter to its initial state prior to its prohibition. I'll discuss that in a second. And both the command and the prohibition necessitate immediacy and compliance at that time, but do not necessitate repetition unless it's linked to a specific cause. And hence, compliance is required or recommended when that cause exists. All right. one more thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention, was that if we have something which is forbidden, a prohibition to do something, all right, something is prohibited, and then comes a command that we can do it, right? What becomes the ruling? Well, the ruling is whatever it was before the prohibition. So if it was before the prohibition, wajib, it's wajib. If it was before the prohibition, mustahab, mustahab. If it becomes before the prohibition, mubah, it becomes mubah. So, for instance, if you look at the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah forbids us to hunt while we're wearing the ihram for Hajj. And then He allows us that when we take off the ihram to hunt. But He orders us, but the way the hunt is that it comes in a verb to command to hunt. So does that mean it becomes required for us to hunt after we commit Hajj? No, but it returns to its state which it was before the Hajj, which was mubah, permissible. So that rule, it's written on like the second paragraph of that a prohibition and then a command coming after a prohibition brings that matter to how it was before the prohibition. You are forbidden, you've been prohibited to make a marriage while wearing the ihram. The command comes and says you can make marriage, you can do it after the ihram. Let's say there was one, there's not, I can say. That means it would be back to how it was before the prohibition, which means it's mubah. Yes? Remember the division between worship and habits regarding what type of sunnah? No, when we divided it, remember we said the sunnah would come, huh? No, we said the sunnah consists of how many parts? Which are? And the deeds, statement, acts, and deeds. When we divided his acts into those done into worship or habit, is this an act or is this a statement? So that rule doesn't apply to this. Yes. ولا تقتل. نعم تقتل is فعل مضارع, right? And the لا is لا نهي, so it's صيغة النهي. Right? And you feed the تحرير. Any questions before we dismiss the class for this day?
I just want to. Arabic, maybe you give some, maybe I'm related to some sort of examples of the main language, examples of the daily life. You were at the public one, maybe the program is in English.
Anyway, I mean, there's really no cure for that except learning Arabic.
No, it's not that long, it's just that we're here now.
Inshallah, time. Mean, if we can sit down together, and I mean, right now we're running behind, and there's only four more classes left. And I initially asked for 20, and they gave me 18, and I missed one today, so we had 17. We have a lot of material left, so we're really gonna have to pick up the pace as much as we can. All right, Jazakumullah khair. Subhanallah. Sorry.